Bye.
Hey there. Okay, Radio Fishing back again. After a little hiatus, we had to take a little time to regroup, regather, and we're back. Fishing Frank in the chair here, Robert and Chair Crossman. We've got Captain Carl with us today. And so how you been doing, Carl?
Great. Staying busy.
Fighting with your front door, I heard.
Yeah, the other day I was on a trip and it was pouring down rain, and I don't know why I was in a rush to get to the truck to get inside out of the rain. I was already soaking wet, and I opened the door, and I thought it was open enough, and I tried to run around the driver's door, and it got me right in the forehead.
Yeah, I can see the bruise in the middle of your forehead.
Yeah, there's a nice little scab there and everything. It felt good.
Well, you get in a fight with a truck door, bash the middle of your forehead, Robert putting away shark leaders, and decides to fight with a lure.
I lost.
You lost.
I lost.
That was the biggest barb I've ever seen on a treble hook.
For a lure, yes. Out of all the lures to pick to get stabbed by, I got to pick the one with the biggest barb.
Oh, yeah. We went up to the Medical Pavilion Walk-In Clinic up Dr. Dave's place, and we're in there, and he looks. He goes, yeah, we can do that. And then he goes to try cut it. And then that was two shots, and the first shot was a little amazing, huh?
No. That hurt exceptional. I did not like that at all.
So, yeah, this...
I think I would have rather stuck myself with another hook, honestly. It hurt that bad.
Wow. So, anyway, they did mess around. They finally got the hook out. The only good thing about them is they're real doctors. They actually will do stuff and work with you.
Yeah.
By the second shot impressive. Of Novocaine, you were doing better.
Oh, yeah, the second shot, I didn't feel nothing at all. Sledgehammer probably could have hit it and not bothered it.
Yeah, it was funny though, because Robert got that first shot of Novocaine, and they start moving the hook, and all of a sudden I hear bam, his foot hits the thing. He goes, I think you need another shot of Novocaine. He sticks another one in there.
Yeah.
So anyway,
yeah, good.
I don't remember that part. I just remember the second shot coming along. I just remember it. Yeah. It hurt.
Yeah, well, he was trying to move that hook, and that big old barb on that thing just wasn't letting it go anywhere.
Yeah.
And even though, you know, I know, yes, we're going to get to a fishing report, but one of the reasons I brought it up, fighting with a corridor, there's not much you can do about. With lures, when people come in and they're buying a 16 bomber or any of these lures to fight tarpon with, the first thing I do, have you done this before? No, I flatten all the barbs down on them.
Yeah.
And people always say, well, it has nothing to do with the fish. Tarpon eat stingrays and blue crabs and
catfish,
and they're constantly getting stuck with stuff and poked, and their mouth and everything is kind of made for that.
Right.
But if you get one of those treble hooks in your hand and it's got a barb on it, and then it's stuck in the fish at the same time with a barb, now you're hooked to 150-pound fish. This is not what you want to have happen.
A 5-pound fish is going to feel like a 150-pound fish, so I can't even imagine a big fish on it.
So
that's terrifying.
First rule is, when you're looking for big fish with hooks and, you know, lures that have treble hooks on them, yep, get rid of the barbs. And it's a catch-and-release fish anyway.
Right.
So crush down the barb, and if you take your time, you can actually roll the tip of the barb down and leave a nice big bump there, which will still slide out easy, but it does keep the fish on. You don't lose it. If I'm doing it for sharks and stuff, I roll the barb down as much as possible. It comes out of the fish real easy, but it holds the bait on.
Right.
Barbless hooks are a waste of time. Hooks with no barbs at all, just a complete waste of time. You can't keep a bait on. You can't do anything with them. They're just junk. And so by rolling the barb down, you create a bump for the barb. And that bump keeps all the fish on, keeps the sharks on, the tarpon on, keeps the bait on. But it comes out of you as easily as it went in, which is not wonderful, but it goes in and you can pull it right back out.
Yeah.
And not,
you have much more control of the situation.
Oh, yeah. It's so much better. And I do it now, but I just crush the barbs when I'm fishing for smaller fish. But, yeah, I don't really use much for barbs on them at all. I've got those pair of multiplier pliers that I just and they're down. That way, if I get them stuck in me, it's no big deal. I don't worry about it. They pop in, pop out. I get hurt worse than that all the time. Yeah. And I don't even fight with car doors, and I still get hurt. You know? So, anyway, we're going to do a fishing report. Where are we going to start? You were talking about something up in the Peace River, Carl.
There's been a lot of tarpon up the Peace River, especially early in the morning. Up by 75 Bridge, all the way up to Harbor Heights Boat Ramp, I heard.
Really?
Yep.
So
there's also been quite a few over by Port Charlotte Beach early in the morning. And there's also been a lot of juveniles in Pirate Harbor.
Okay, so, but upriver now, we're looking at tarpon.
There's a mixed range up there of tarpon.
And quite a bit around the Harbor Heights area.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to guess that it's early morning thing up there.
Yep.
Definitely.
Right when the sun's
early morning thing, or right as the suns are getting ready to drop below. I mean, right as the no-see-ums start to come out.
Yeah.
Yeah, your
just,
best friend.
Just when the no-see-ums have finished is when I want to be there.
Yeah.
It's not too bad on the no-see-ums right out in front of Harbor Heights, so I don't know why.
Yeah.
But I don't really run into them. I mean, I live right there, and I can go out there at 5 o'clock in the morning and no no-see-ums.
Yeah, but I'll bet you if I went out there, it'd probably chew on me.
That could be, yes. But one of the things about it is, I think because we're right at the mix between salt, and then we get that little bit of fresh, so I think if they're trying to live in fresh water, the salt kind of whacks them. If they're trying to live, you know, in the fresh, the salt, if they're trying to live in the salt, the fresh gets them.
Gotcha.
I don't think we don't have that bad mosquito thing like they do the saltwater marsh mosquitoes over towards O'Hara Waterway back
it's
on the backside
back
of Port Charlotte.
Yeah. I live
They're
over
bad
there.
Over there, over in PGI where you have all the saltwater canals. I think when you have a consistent type of water, the bugs kind of do better.
Yeah,
and
I'll have to agree with that.
We're not. Harbor Heights is not consistent with anything. That's why I like to live there, is because it's just as strange a place as you ever wanted to be. So, let's see. So, up in the Peace River tarpon, have you heard any snook or anything up there?
There's been some random snook on the docks on the left side over by Harbor Heights. Those docks are usually always good for snook, snapper. There's always some redfish running up there, too.
Okay.
San Susie trussels. They got some big snook usually on them all year round. But the thing about trying to get them away from that structure, that's the tricky part.
Yeah, I haven't heard much going on in San Suchi lately. I know there should be stuff up there, but I haven't really heard of much up on the river right now. I don't know why. It should be there, but I don't really know that there is. Yeah. Coming down 975, anybody heard any factual fish?
A few black drum here and there. A couple little baby bull sharks that I've heard about right there in between 75 and 41, but that's kind of about the only thing I've heard of.
Coming down to 41. Anybody done anything at 41?
Juvenile tarpon. There's been some snook there at night and first thing in the morning at first light. During the daytime, honestly, I haven't heard anything in about probably 6 days, and we've had a lot of storms the last, four days.
I heard about some black drum running through the bridges, the 41 bridge, too.
That's what I've been hearing, black drum down by the bridge. Yeah,
dumping into the PGI canals right there.
And moving over, going around over towards the Port Charlotte canals, anything up in the canals? Anybody been in there, heard anything?
Just the miles of them. I've been hearing a lot of the juvenile tarpon, some mangrove snapper. Not good numbers of them, but the few fish that they are catching seem to be like 12 to 14 inch size, which is
nice for snapper.
Pretty darn good for a canal snapper. Baby sheep's head. I've been hearing a lot of guys seeing them, not really catching them, but seeing baby sheep's head.
Well, that's cool.
So
they got a few months to grow, so
yeah.
And they'll grow a half inch a month.
Yeah.
So
there's also been a couple of big schools of jacks over there hanging out right out in front of Port Charlotte Beach. Some good sized jacks too.
Really?
Yep.
That's a blast.
I mean,
I love those.
2 days last week, I came in at the end of my day, and they were just blowing the water up. So I stopped and let my clients catch, you know, a couple real quick. I mean, they're pretty good sized jacks. They're 18 to 24 inches. They're
now,
good ones.
In all the years of leaving, how often did you see jacks over there?
Very rarely.
Now, they just redid all the way the water comes out of the freshwater canals.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's worried about it was going to mess everything up, because once you change something, it's 50-50 shot. Actually 30-30-30. Mm-hmm. It could either stay the same, nothing really changes, which is very unlikely, or it could get a lot worse, or it could get a lot better. Now, I don't know how fishing along the spillways is going to be yet, because I don't really think anybody's done it much. But with this new water configuration, we're seeing more jacks, more of these other fish than I've heard of for years. Mm-hmm. More redfish. We're getting fish more like PGI does.
Yep.
And this is the first time since I've been working here over this last, since it started raining and stuff, that I'm hearing the stories of the jacks and all this and all that. I think they're finding out this new water flow is actually going to be a good thing for Port Charlotte.
Might be.
It seems to be helping out, to be honest with you. I mean, that's the first time I've ever seen, you know, big schools of jacks like that really holding up right there.
Yeah, so.
Consistently. I mean, as long as I've lived in that house, they come through in very, very slim spurts, especially this time of year. But this year has been more steady.
More steady than any other year that I can remember.
Absolutely.
So, it's hard to believe, but I think Charlotte County might have done something
right.
Correct.
Maybe.
We're saying accidentally on purpose, they might have made something better. This will be a first, so we're going to be really hesitant to say that.
Still the first year. Let's see how the third year goes.
Yeah, because.
Like any other business, let's see how that third year goes.
Yeah, the first year in Florida, your first year in business is always your best year. And then if you can make it through the second and third, you'll be around. But everything wants to find out what's new, and then after that is when you got to figure out if you're...
See if the fish have that same mentality.
Yeah. Oh, let's check out the new stuff. Eh, it sucks here. I'm not coming back. Yeah. Okay, we'll see.
Got me once, that's it.
Yeah. All right, so anyway, I haven't heard of much from the O'Hara back up on the back end of there.
Some mangrove snapper been back in there in some of those deeper spots, like some of the guys that... are good about kind of power loading their stuff on their lifts. Yeah. Where they got it wallowed out just an extra 6 inches or a foot. Some of the guys have been catching some decent mangrove snapper back in there on those docks.
All right.
Been a lot of juvenile tarpon all the way back, like by Flamingo area.
All the way back by there? Back Canary Flamingo, all the way at the end of the Manchester, where that lake is back there?
There's been some juvenile tarpon and some good snook back there.
Yeah, the snook in another month should be loaded up there really good. I mean, but that's usually August, September, October thing when they really start turning on up there. Switching over Rocky Creek, Mica Cutoff.
A lot of redfish in the Mica Cutoff. A lot of redfish and snook over there right now. Big snook and good-sized redfish inside and on the outside of Mica Cutoff.
White bait, shrimp?
I've been throwing shrimp early in the mornings, and then later on in the day I've been switching to cut bait and a little bit of white bait. A lot of cut ladyfish, cut crabs. I've been using a lot of crabs lately for all my redfish everywhere.
Now you're chopping them in halves or quarters?
I'm cutting them. Depends on how the size of the crab, but the bigger crabs, I'm either getting 2 pieces of bait or 4 pieces of bait. The bigger the crab, I'll get 4.
All right.
I'm always throwing them on the bottom as close as I can to the bushes.
Have you ever put them under a bobber?
No.
Just curious. I mean, I've never tried putting a... Well,
I've never done it either. And I don't know why it wouldn't work, but I've never done it.
Yeah, I was just kind of curious, because especially if you get some of that little bit of snot grass or anything like that, I'd be curious to know. Because, I mean, they're mostly working off a smell at that point anyway.
Yeah. Next time you get out, try one of your casting bubbles and see if you can suspend a little piece of crab up, see what it does.
Yeah, I'll try it. I mean, I've always put it on the bottom just because, you know, cut bait, you want to draw the fish to you.
Oh, I know. Because I know it's more their nature for especially redfish or bottom feeders primarily, but just one of those curious.
Yeah, sometimes
you more than anything else.
Over by my cutoff, it gets really snot grassy over there and stuff. So.
But there's three of us here who have never fished a cut piece of crab under a float.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, I mean, and that speaks a lot because, I mean, he's got years of experience chartering Frank, and then you fish crabs all the time. I don't fish crabs hardly ever, because honestly I can say I've only caught one fish on a crab, but I see it done all the time, and I've just never, I don't have the confidence in it.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, three of us here, and the three of us all have been fishing here on and off for years, and none of us ever tried it. This might be worth trying, so give it a shot. Let us know what happens.
Yeah, I'll try it next time.
And I think your casting bubble, I think it's going to be the one for that. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to work on the regular bobber. Mm-mm. I think the shadow from the bobber and the crab is going to be too confusing. I think the clear bubble is going to be the key to making that work. But getting over into the Mica River, what are we talking about?
A lot of tarpon kind of at the mouth and all the way up to Eljo Bean, depending on the tide or the day. It's varied a little bit. Then there's been some small sharks, especially a lot of baby bull sharks, which some of the guys are really starting to confuse with black tips. So they really need to be aware of what they're catching over there. Been some incidental cobia too, but most of them have been on the shorter side.
I'm not sure that somewhere over the last few years, some of the black tips and bull sharks haven't done a cross spawn thing, because the nose on a bull shark historically was much rounder, much more rounder. When I'm used to thinking about bull sharks, I'm thinking about a very round nose on them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been seeing more and more of them with a pretty pointed nose. Yeah. And so they may have crossed up a little bit with one of the other sharks somewhere along the line. It's not unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, I don't know about sharks. I mean, I've heard of other species of fish crossbreeding together, but I don't know about sharks.
Yeah, no, they say this: there are sharks, when there are just aren't one of your species around, they will pretty much go with whichever one's available.
That's a very good possibility.
You know,
or parthenogenesis.
Kind of like, you know, military guys, you know?
Nice. Nice.
I had to throw that in. All the military's been getting such good press lately. Everybody's loving the guys. You know, we got to keep them down in there a little bit.
Got to add a little salt every now and then.
Add a little salt. My kid's military. I can pick them in a little bit.
There you go. There's also been a few oddball Spanish mackerel coming in there on following that incoming tide. The river is not flowing hardly at all. Not for this time of year. I mean, as much rain as we've been getting kind of locally, you know, I'd say the river's down quite a bit, relatively speaking, for this time of year. So they've been getting the Spanish mackerel, been finding those glass minnows on those incoming tides, and this whole week's been more of a west-southwesterly wind, so it's been kind of helping push it up just a little bit farther than normal.
We got some water coming down the Peace River. It's up to about 3 foot at this point, a little over 3 feet.
Yeah, so I think it was. I think it was 3 foot in April.
But no, it was like 1.5. It went all the way up to 3.5. It's down now, back about 3.25. But it had gone down to kind of a low ebb in July. And now it's worked its way back up. So it's actually getting better there.
Yeah, but what was it last year at this time?
Oh, I don't know. I don't have the back volumes.
You know, I'll bet you a lunch that it's down 3 feet easily below what it should be for this time of year.
Well, the Mayaca River's flowing at about 1/3 of its normal volume.
That I heard of, because I heard up there in Mayaca State Park that little spill dam where everyone kind of hangs out at the pergola and all that stuff is down like almost 2 feet below where it normally is.
Right. They've it's actually saying it's running 25% of normal, but you know,
it's pretty significant. So I mean, I think that's why we're seeing some of the oddball stuff that otherwise, you know,
it did pick up a little bit. It's come up almost 2 feet over the course of the last few days. It took a 2 foot jump in the last 2 days. So that's all on fishandfranks.com. Just go to the weather and tide page and go down. You can see the Mayaca River flow, the Peace River flows. I've got lakes, I've got water qualities, all that kind of stuff. It's on the weather and tide page right at the bottom. So anyway, that's where I'm getting my information from.
Around the bridge there at night, there's been some juvenile tarpon and some adult tarpon. Just depends on the day. They're not consistent, but when they're there, it's been pretty incredible. Some decent mangrove snapper, few oddball snook, but the few snook that have been there have been pretty good size. And then there's been an incidental trout, both the silver and the speckled. So kind of a mixed bag, but it's been one day good, one day bad. There's no kind of rhyme or reason to it, but Eljo Bean is always one of those cool places because it's its own little micro environment. You know, that river bottle next down, two trestles and two bridges so super close together create a whole lot of structure.
And it also changes the water flow and the pattern holds different. The current and everything is there amazingly different than anywhere. But let's cruise down the west wall. Anybody heard anything on the west wall?
There's been a lot of redfish down towards the south end of the west wall down by Turtle Bay. I've been fishing all the dead dead wood down there in the early morning. Then as the sun gets up and gets hot, I've been switching up to the north end of the west wall where it's a lot shadier. It's going to be a little bit cooler up in the shade. It seems like those fish are starting south in the morning to warm up a little bit, and then they're moving north to where the shade is in the afternoon.
Well, Hurricane Charlie came through the bottom half over down by Cape Hayes and pretty much destroyed most of the mangroves down there, and that's what he means by dead wood. It's literally a lot of dead mangrove trees down there. And then as you pass a certain point on the west side about halfway up, there was no damage from the hurricane whatsoever, so you've got big green leafy mangrove trees that provide a lot of shade, 6, 8, 10 feet overhanging the water where the fish can get out of the sun, getting that little cooler water back in there. And so when you hear Carl say I'm fishing the dead wood, well, it's literally that. You've got a lot of dead trees and stuff on that south end of the harbor, and then as you move your way north, you go back to live trees. So, coming down to Cape Hayes, what's going on Cape Hayes?
The Turtle Bay bar's holding a little school of redfish right now. They're from 25 to 34 inches. Cut bait's been working the best on them, cut ladyfish or cut mullet. I wouldn't be afraid to throw a crab. I haven't thrown a crab out there on those fish yet, but ladyfish and mullet have always worked really good on that Turtle Bay bar. There's also been a few trout on the outside in a little bit deeper water, some random trout.
Robert, what you got? Anything on the bar itself?
On the bar itself, I'm hearing some bonnet heads, a few ladyfish here and there. And if you troll the edge right there, going, you know, basically from marker 5 heading towards the mouth of turtle, been a few oddball Spanish mackerel mixed in there with them. You're not catching a lot of them, but you'll pick one up about every pass.
Yeah, there was some last week on the Cape Hayes Reef.
Now, if you come inside a Turtle Bay out in the open, I've heard of a few small trout out there in the open, like you were saying, redfish up closer to the mouth. Anything going on in the back of Turtle Bay?
Most of the guys are staying out of there because the mosquitoes are wicked terrifying during the daytime, from what I've been told.
That, and it's been so hot once you get up in those little creeks that, I mean, some people can't sit in there longer than 10, 15 minutes because they're not used to it.
Yeah, it's so literally
too hot. If you're used to it, I wouldn't.
So,
wouldn't want to. That's a sauna.
As you push over towards Bull Bay, anything happening around the islands or back in Bull Bay?
The shacks have been holding some small sheep's head and some small snapper. In the grass flats, as soon as you come into Bull Bay, there's been some scattered random trout. There's been some really good snook and redfish on the outside of Bull Bay Bar, out there in the open water where it drops down a couple feet deeper. There's been some really good fish right there hanging on that drop-off. I've been using white bait for those fish. Pull up to a little spot on the bar, which you can see a couple of good potholes out there. Chum the water up a little bit, you know, fish it for 5-10 minutes. If you don't get nothing, work your way down the bar a little bit more. But there's a lot of good fish holding up on the outside of Bull Bay Bar.
Yeah, I've been kind of hearing the same thing. There's also been some big, big snook that are like single swimming by there.
Oh, I ran across a pod the other day, probably 30 big snook.
Really?
Yep.
Cool. Like that.
So, coming out from there, heading around over towards Kaopalu, the backside, getting devilfish and working down the tailing flats, going towards catfish, wooden, and that. Anything going on down there?
One of my buddies was there 2 days ago. They were fishing for redfish because there's been a lot of good redfish hanging out right there at Sandfly and bouncing between Sandfly and Devilfish. He was soaking a cut pinfish and he hooked into probably about 120, 130 pound tarpon.
Really?
Yep. Man, he was undermatched for it. He had a redfish robbed a 15 pound test. It didn't last long.
No. Say it isn't so. I've heard of some good redfish at that one oyster bar as you're cutting in towards Whidden.
The one that's usually out of water.
Yeah, I've heard that there's been some good redfish in along that trough with a couple small black tips and baby lemons and bulls kind of mixed in throughout there with an incidental trout, but most of the trout there have been small.
It's that time of year where Whidden Creek starts filling up with redfish, though. Every year about this time, Whidden Creek really fills up.
That whole bay,
yeah,
that whole basin there seems to get some good fish in there. You'll start to see some straggler bulls, and you'll start to get a lot of the, it's almost like, you know, you've always talked about, you know, like they come in to look for the guys that are ready to go offshore, they're finally of size. It almost seems like that's a good meeting place where you get a lot of those mid-size, legal-size fish, those 25 to 27-inch fish get scattered throughout that whole basin with the few oddball big bulls.
Well, I think what it is, because it's so close to intercoastal, being you know, close to the cooler, deeper water, so that's the, I think they dump in there, hang out, and then go back to the cooler water.
Right, and there's so many varieties of bait in there, you know. I mean, you got all, there's a ton of killifish in there, and those little mud minnows, along with the baby pinfish, are just all over those flats, so it's choice feeding ground for everything.
All right, well, what's going on up by Placida? What do we got in the Placida area?
Lots and lots and lots of little tiny bait, like gillers, even with a quarter inch mesh net.
Yes.
But that's bringing in some really nice mangrove snapper. I've been hearing good stuff about mangs during the day and especially at night around the trestle.
There's been, on the docks, as soon as you come in, Little Gasparilla Pass, there's been some juvenile gag grouper. There's been a lot of snapper hanging out on those docks. A lot of snook are hanging out there right now.
A lot of big snook there, I've been hearing about.
Big snook.
And the water's still relatively clear out there, so guys are actually seeing them cruising around in the early mornings as they're going over there looking for bait.
Yeah, but there's a lot of fish holding up on those docks as soon as you come in, Little Gasparilla. There's been a lot of redfish, a lot of snook, snapper, grouper. Those docks have been doing really good over there. Shrimp, greenbacks, pinfish. Pinfish have been working really good. There's a lot of big pinfish all over out there right now.
All right. If you're going to go up the intercoastal, anything between Placida and Lemon Bay?
Been hearing of a few single tarpon here and there. They're all broken
Palm
up.
Palm Island Ferry thing going across. There's usually a lot of snook around there. And just kind of mixed up and down the intercoastal. I was just wondering if we heard anything.
Just hearing mixed stuff along those docks, like almost exactly like Little Gasparilla Pass. All those docks have got some small gags, even an occasional legal one. The snook have been stacked in them. One dock's got some flounder on it, and then the next got some whiting on it. You know, it's been kind of, it's sporadic, but if you're going to work it like you're bass fishing, you're going to be very productive. You know, if you're just anchoring up and sitting there waiting out the fish, you're going to be waiting a lot longer. But if you start using your trolling motor and just pitch it and work to the next dock and keep doing the same thing, you'll have a pretty productive day.
Yeah, I just had a guy in yesterday and literally had to talk him out of buying a whole bunch of stuff because he just got down here. He's got tons of bass fishing gear, spinning, bait casting, all these lures, everything. He says, well, where can I sell it? I says, you don't know enough to sell anything yet.
Use it.
I said, you know.
That little rubber mouse works killer on snook.
But if you had to, you know, take it for a walk, clean up poop, feed it, brush it, take care of it, but it will just sit in the corner and wait for you. So leave it there, and it's so hard to learn new water and new lures and new equipment and new everything. It's so much easier to take it a little bite at a time. Like Robert says, you eat an elephant one bite at a time. You don't try and swallow the whole thing. And when you're first coming down, you know, normal tackle is kind of normal tackle. And if you already own it, what are you going to do? Sell it cheap? Well, use it till it blows.
Right.
And then, you know, we'll help you get some other stuff. Or use it till it doesn't work. And then we'll help you figure out what does work.
Right.
But
and then save it for those banner days where you're out there and you're like, well, I've got to beat up these old lures. I'm going to fish for Spanish mackerel because I'm out of spoons.
Yeah.
You know, then you're not worried about it because at that point the lure doesn't owe you anything.
Exactly. It's just, you know, it does sometimes amaze me. The hardest thing to do is get people not to buy stuff.
Well, they're not used to that. I mean, places either don't give a crap if they buy anything or not, or they try to just push everything down their throat and sell them everything under the sun.
But it's not right.
No, it's not right, but that's what the public's used to, so when we do the right thing, they walk out of here happy as a clam, but they're still scratching their head, bewildered by the whole thing.
Well, he doesn't have anything for tarpon or shark or anything. He wants to get into all that. So, you know, I guess, you know, there's always, you know, people will buy stuff and spend money, but if you do it right, it's so much better. And I got to tell you, it's easier to sleep at night, too.
You bet.
But getting up in the Lemon Bay,
there's a big school of redfish just north of the Tom Adams Bridge on the backside of Ski Alley.
Big school of redfish on the north side of the Tom Adams Bridge, just
on the backside of Ski Alley.
So that would be the south side of
Tom Adams Bridge. Yeah, I was going to say that's the south
side. Oh, yeah, my bad, south. Yep.
So as you're going over the, if you're coming from the mainland going out on Englewood Beach, it would be to your left as you're going down closer towards Stump Pass, but kind of between Ski Alley and the bridge up there. Mm-hmm. Now, that's where the big boat anchorage is and all that. And
cut pin fish have been working the best over there.
You know, I've never ever fished that area.
No, I have. But I work that area a lot.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, I've fished Ski Alley. I fished Stump Pass a lot, and basically between Stump Pass and Placida, but from the Tom Adams Bridge up, other than from the pier itself, I've really never fished in there. You took me on that boat ride from there all the way up to Venice, which was cool as all get-go, but that's the only time I've ever been up there.
They used to have a boat ramp right at the end of the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And when I fished there a lot, I could drive out there, put the boat in right at the bridge, and now you got to go around to Indian Mounds, which isn't that much further, but... Yeah. I used to do a lot of fishing when that boat ramp was right there, and I worked a lot up there. I did a lot of work on the water for the feds and all that kind of stuff. So it was, you know, I enjoy fishing up around that area. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. A lot of fish up there. A lot of fish.
I mean, we don't get a ton of reports from there, but when we do, they're usually pretty cool. And I've never personally had much experience fishing up around that area.
Anybody heard anything about Venice?
Venice Jetties is holding some very big snook right now.
A lot of big snook and a lot of nice mangrove snapper. I mean, the daytime and the evenings and into the night, the mangrove snapper have been ridiculous.
There's been some 30-pound snook coming out of the jetties right now.
Really? 30-pound snook off the jetties?
Yep. Yeah. I'll vouch for 25-pounders.
Yeah. I know somebody caught one today that was on the north jetty using a live whole mullet.
Yeah. I can see that. You know, those little silver sides, and another guy come in Tuesday, I think it was. Tuesday or Wednesday, bought a bag of them because he's been going up there in the evening right at sunset and staying until about 2 hours after sunset. Doesn't matter what the tide's doing. And he's creaming 12 to, his biggest one is 17 and a half inch mang off of there.
Mm-hmm.
On both sides, on the north and the south side jetty.
If you're sitting in Minnesota or, you know, it's one of the northern states, Michigan, Wisconsin, whatever, you're sitting up there and you're wondering, because we're talking about these 12, 14, 16-inch fish, have you ever caught a smallmouth? Now, a mangrove snapper is more like catching a smallmouth than almost
with
anything
teeth.
Else. Yeah, a smallmouth with big teeth.
Don't
like
stick
a
your finger
house
in there.
Cat. Yeah, they have the same teeth as your average house cat. So, you know, that gives you an idea what they're like. But they fight like a smallmouth.
Yeah.
Not quite as good, but I would say 80% well as
they're
good
fun.
As a smallmouth. And they're a lot of fun, very aggressive fish, and they've got big teeth, and they get their name snapper because literally the jaws will snap open and shut, and it looks like a mousetrap.
They don't like to open them either.
And if they happen to bite down and something's in between the teeth, you're going to break their jaw getting those teeth out.
Yep.
Yeah.
They're not going to kill you. You're not going to die from this, guys. But I could tell you, picture getting bit by a house cat. That's what getting nipped by a mangrove snapper is like.
Yeah.
So, anyway, swinging around from there, Venice Jetty's big fish.
Not too much off of sharkies that I've heard of.
Yeah, I don't even like talking about sharkies. I like the restaurant and all that, but they allow too many trolls on the pier.
Yes.
You have too many bridge trolls. So, yeah. Now, going out and walking along the beach, if you were going to walk along the beach in Venice or Sanibel, would you see a lot of difference in the fish?
No. It's almost identical up and down the entire shoreline. I'd probably even venture from Tampa all the way down to Marco is probably about the same.
Yeah, I'm going back to fishandfranks.com, the weather and tides, looking up gulf temps now to see what the variant is going to be.
A lot of whiting on the beach.
Yeah, whiting, some jacks, still hearing some mixed reports of blue runners, some Spanish mackerel going in little spurts.
Boca Grand Pass has got a lot of snook on the shoreline, and especially that rock wall.
We got 89.2 degrees gulf temp or water temp in Key West. Naples is 89.1. St. Pete 87.4. Pensacola 86. So from between St. Pete and Pensacola, you've got 1.4 degree difference. And from let's see, St. Pete, 87.4, to Key West at
2 degrees.
You know, you're not talking a tremendous variant in temperature. Mm-mm. I think that's one of the reasons, since all this climate changing stuff, it used to be 5 to 8 degrees difference between lower Florida and upper Florida water temperature. That's why more of the king mackerel stayed up there all summer. But now it's so similar, they just spread out down the coast.
Right.
And I think that's why, if you're in Estero Bay, or you know, out in Estero, or if you're in Sanibel, Boca Grande, Venice, you know, whatever along the shores, that's why the fishing is so similar. Mm-hmm. The water temp is very, very similar all the way along.
And I think that's why we're seeing that those influx of blackfin tuna every now and then. The tiger sharks have been, the last 3 years have been, you're hearing more and more
about
sighting and being caught.
Guys catching tiger sharks off the beach 20 years ago, I would have said, not going to happen.
Right, exactly.
And because we did a lot of shark fishing off land back then.
Yeah, and land fishing for sharks is nothing new.
No, but back then it was a lot cooler because you could drive
because
on
the
Gaspar
Island.
Because
you had the same rowboat to share out there at the phosphate.
What's that?
That's because it was a communal rowboat out there at the phosphate dock that everyone got to use.
Yeah.
Nowadays it'd be gone and you have to bring your own kayak.
But you would drive your truck out on the boat on the Gaspar Island, and that was all a bird sanctuary in North End, and you could just back your truck up on the beach, flop tailgate down, and you know, pickup trucks were made to have couch in the back.
Yeah.
You know, a couple big easy chairs. You'd throw all the rods out, set everything up, sit in the back of the truck, and
that'd be nice.
That was the same way with Gilcrest Park over in Punta Gorda. When I lived there right on Retta, we used to look, our front door looked out on Gilcrest Park, and every Friday and Saturday night there'd be 2 dozen, 3 dozen pickup trucks all backed up along the seawall, all the kids would be in the park playing, you know, with the swings and stuff, and Dad would be out there with all his rods out, and they'd be catching big snook and sharks and stuff. But it was more like that. Now you can't drive anywhere, you can't park, you can't do this, you can't get the kids by the seawall, you know.
Yeah. You can't get their hands dirty.
Yeah. So, I mean, they like the swings and everything, because all the kids would go over there, and the moms would be having a good time, and the dads would all be fishing, and, you know, it was just moms and dad, everybody having a good time. But the kids all just kind of used to watch themselves. It's amazing any of us survived, because nowadays you have to have, you know,
bubble.
So, yeah, you got to be bubble wrapped. So anyway, as we get down along the beaches, we talked about whiting. We've talked about a little bit of Spanish mackerel, a lot of snook. Anywhere close to a pass,
yeah,
the closest, a lot of snook.
Well, and you're going to find actually more consistent overall fishing as you're getting closer to the passes.
More water.
It's
movement.
More water movement.
Anything else going along the beaches?
An occasional redfish, especially early morning at first light, or at night. If you're willing to go out there at night, or if you're willing to pay the money to fish from like Stump Pass or Boca Grande Pass at night, there's been some really big redfish coming through there.
Okay, now getting out in the Gulf of Mexico, what's going on out in the Gulf of Mexico?
That's stupid right now. That's pretty good.
It's going
like
crazy.
Stupid
just
in a good
stupid
way.
Don't go. It's
no,
ridiculous
it's,
to go
no,
out
it's stupid
there.
In a good
there
way.
Go.
Oh,
there's
it's stupid if you don't go.
There's Benita from...
Just qualify this who doesn't know Robert slang.
No, I'm just clarifying it. There's Benita from anywhere from like a mile, and usually straight out the passes. You know, I don't care if it's Venice, Stump, Inglewood, or Little Gaspar, Boca, any of those passes a mile to like 5 miles out, there's schools of Benita blitzing all over the place. You have to run and gun on them or be lucky enough to be trolling through them as they're coming up. Been some Spanish mackerel mixed in with them. A variety of sharks. There's been a whole lot of those Atlantic sharp-nosed fowling right behind them as they come up and blitz on a school of bait fish within 30 seconds to a minute and a half, because they're a lot slower swimmers, are coming up right behind them and picking up a lot of the scraps. And there's been a couple occasional large sharks mixed in with them, bulls, sandbars, hammers, possibly tigers, who knows. The snapper bite for the mangs has been incredible, from like 5 to 15 miles. Mm-hmm. But once you hit that 15 to 25 mile, that's when you're getting into the lanes. Vermilion snapper. Most of the gags that have been out there are small. The better gag bite with the red grouper bite has been 25 to 35 miles. That seems to be the much more consistent bite.
Now, have you been doing any trips out in the Gulf, Carl?
Yep. I've been doing about 100 feet of water. That's where I've been getting a lot of big red grouper, a lot of the big lane snappers, good vermilions.
Now, how big are the red grouper?
And we're getting them all the way up to 30 inches out there.
Okay, so how many pounds, you guess?
Probably 9 pounds.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot. This wasn't a test.
Probably about 8-9 pound fish.
Okay, there wasn't a test. Well, at $24 a pound, you figure you're getting 8 pounds of meat there, $24 a pound in the grocery store right now.
Yeah. That's not bad. It's pretty spendy, yeah.
Frozen Spanish sardines, which we get from the shop here. They've been working great for the grouper. That's usually what I usually use for the grouper is frozen Spanish sardines. Every now and then I'll get some pinfish or some squirrel fish. For all the snapper and the grunts, I've just been using those squid bites or the squid wings and cutting my own strips.
Now, what if you take a little bit of regular shrimp with you, you can regular squid, just a whole squid. Mm-hmm. I cut little rings out of it and use that. I slide it over the sardine and put the hook through that and the sardine.
Holds
keeps them on the hook better.
Yeah.
Keeps them on the hook a little better.
Whole lot better.
I mean, I go through the bottom of the gill and straight up the skull on his forehead. I mean, that usually holds on pretty good, but I mean,
sometimes the head's not on real good.
Yeah, if they grab the back part of that tail or something, the whole body's coming off the head. You'll just have your head when you reel it up.
Yeah, kind of what I've been doing is sliding that squid on a little quarter-inch wide piece of the squid, and then it makes a ring, and then going just behind the head and running the hook right through the squid, through the sardine, and out the squid again. Acts like a rubber band.
Yep. So that's a real good idea.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
So anyway, just a little something helps, because most people, the only complaint people ever have, they catch a lot of fish with them but can't keep them on the hook.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And
the other thing is brining your baits. I mean, if you know you're going out the day before, brining your baits helps just with some good salt.
Mm-hmm. Take a cooler, put some water in it, bunch of ice, and throw all this frozen sardines and everything right in there, and then just put a couple of cups of salt in it, and that'll help.
Yep. Absolutely. I mean, significant difference.
So, anyway.
The other thing is there's been some chicken dolphin out there.
Mahi-mahi, huh?
Yep. Especially out there towards the Mohawk and the Pegasus and the Captiva Blue Hole. Getting some good consistent reports, and I mean they aren't knocking them dead or anything, but consistent people seeing them and even hooking a few here and there.
So if you're going over to the Mohawk, the Pegasus, or one of them, take a Tupperware bowl with you and get a box of sardines. Take a, I would say, 6 to 12 sardines and cut them into about half inch pieces with a good sharp knife, and put all that in a Tupperware bowl and have two spinning rods ready with 4-aught hooks on them. No weights, just the line leader 4-aught hook. And if you do see the dolphins, first thing is you open the Tupperware, grab a small handful of the pieces of sardines, scatter them on the water, then put a chunk on a hook, free line it out to them. When you get one hooked up, the other guy puts a bait on, cast into them. And the rule is one in the water all the time.
Leave one in the water.
And that way, the other ones think he's feeding, getting really excited about something, and they will come up to find out what he's doing, and you can catch one, bring it in, leave the other one in the water, throw in, hook another one, bring the second one in, throw in, hook another one, bring the third one in,
It's pretty wild how you could do that on them.
Yeah.
Especially if you're prepared for it, he's talking about.
But you do want a Tupperware bowl.
People are not prepared for it, because they don't stick around very long at all.
Yeah, I dice up some of the chunks, some of the sardines into small quarter, half inch pieces, and then I leave a few chunks that are literally half, three quarters of an inch, whole chunks of fish
for your
that
hook.
I can use for bait. But I want the little stuff just to kind of and use a little bit of time and throw it right towards them, and then keep them going with that. But if you don't have that ready and mixed when you're on the way, you don't have the two rods rigged, you'll see them, they'll be gone, you're not going to get into them. Yeah, Vinny, what's up?
Officer Susan's here buying a reel.
Okay, I'll be right out. I'll let these guys do the next report. Why don't you guys go ahead and do Sanibel and St. James and all that.
Gotcha.
And work our way up.
Okay. Well, doing like out along the beach and coming into the passes. The passes have been ridiculous overall from, I mean, any of them. We already talked about walking the beach, but if you go into the passes, whether you're fishing from a boat or from shore,
snapper,
the mangrove snapper bite's been great because, I mean, we're still in a, we're technically in a drought, you know, so the pass hasn't gotten totally browned or blacked out the way it normally is. I mean, there's still some pretty good visibility. I'm finding that personally from everything I'm hearing about, like Boca Grande and Captiva Pass have been the most consistent for the big mangrove snapper.
Been a lot of small grouper. Undersized, but they're still fun to catch.
Yeah, they're always there. Yeah. And then good, once you go like Captiva down to redfish, Captiva and redfish have been more bigger snook, bigger redfish, some decent mangrove snapper. You know, I don't know if you're hearing of anything else other than that, just with oddball tarpon or an oddball shark coming through there.
I mean, I've been fishing, I fished last week down in St. James City. We caught a lot of good redfish down there. Majority of them all were all too big.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Out on the flats or under the docks?
On the flats.
What were you catching them on?
Greenbacks and cut pinfish. There's a lot of bait down there, especially all holding up right there by the Sanibel Causeway.
Okay.
There's a lot of big bait, a lot of big thread fins, a lot of big white bait.
Any tarpon there at the causeway?
Yes. There's they've been hanging out on the gulf side of the causeway. Not the intercoastal side, but they've been hanging out on the gulf side.
Really? Day and night?
I don't know about nighttime. I sold one of my boats last week, and the guy I sold it to lives down there, and he's been doing a lot of tarpon fishing during the day, early morning till about midday right there at the causeway.
Okay.
He said there's a lot of tarpon still down there.
What about around Ponderosa?
I went up in there. We caught a lot of snook. We went over there looking for a redfish, but we couldn't find no redfish, but we did find a lot of snook hanging up in Ponderosa.
Is there still those trout hanging out on those deeper grass flats just north of there a little bit?
I drove right over that.
Okay. I honestly haven't heard anything in the past week. I know it's usually fairly consistent for scattered trout and assorted snook and redfish, but nothing usually giant.
Oyster Creek at the mouth of the Coosahatchee has been holding some really good snapper, a lot of good snapper, and a lot of good sheep's head in there. There's also quite a few big snook hanging out there in those deeper troughs where all those snapper and sheep's head are sitting. There's been also a lot of good redfish in there, too, in Oyster Creek.
Nice.
There's a lot of good water flow in there. I mean,
that's probably one of the main things, no matter where you go, is looking for water flow.
That place is probably one of the craziest places I've seen around here. It'll go from a couple inches of deep, and then it'll just drop off to 10 feet deep, come back up to like a foot, drop off to like 10 feet deep. Oyster Creek down the mouth of Coosahatchee is a very good place to fish. A lot of big variety of different fish in there. I mean, I've even caught a couple big bull sharks in there.
Nice. Well, what about working there from, like, say, Ponderosa, working your way up towards Matt Lachey?
Matt Lachey over by the power lines, there's been a lot of good redfish. They're not schooled up there right now, but there's a lot of redfish scattered out all over the place over by the power lines. There's also been quite a few big snook mixed in with them. I'm talking about big ones over 40 inches. I haven't got none of them, but I've been seeing them sitting there, but I haven't got any of those ones to eat. I've been throwing greenbacks, cut bait at them.
Any tarpon out there by the power lines?
Yes. About 3 to 4 feet of water. There's been, they're not big ones. They're 80 to 100, maybe 20 pound range.
Still pretty darn good.
Those are actually the fun ones though. But I mean, those fish, those tarpon are fun to fish because you could spot fish them. They're in such shallow water, in 3 to 4 feet of water, you could see them when they're swimming. And you could cast right in front of them, and most of the time it's a hookup.
Nice.
Getting up close to Boquilla, Two Pines, what's going on up there?
There's been a lot of snook on the bar right there at Two Pines. I haven't been on the Boquilla side.
You heard anything in Boquilla?
In Boquilla, I'm getting mixed reports. A lot of big pinfish and a lot of smaller pinfish. A lot of guys have been going there to get them to go red fishing. And then the Spanish mackerel, some bluefish. Very small bluefish, but they're mixed in with them. A lot of little sharks. And then I'm hearing some good big snook and a few big redfish over there at Yuseppa and around Patricio.
Okay. Now, jumping across over to Cape Hayes Reef, I heard it's a great place for Spanish mackerel lately. A lot of small, quite a bit of small sharks mm-hmm. over there. A couple of gags and Goliath down on the bottom. Not as much snapper as there could be, but.
Right.
They're probably getting eaten.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's a bad area right there.
Yeah.
If you're coming up through the harbor hitting the Alligator Creek Reef, anyone up there?
Let's stop back for a second from Cape Hayes Reef over to Burnt Store. That scum line is starting to form now because, I mean, there's just enough brown water trickling out with enough blue water pushing in through the pass where you get that real pretty distinct scum line. It almost goes more towards Burnt Store than Pirate Harbor. That's got a lot of thread fins mixed in with it. The Spanish mackerel seem to hang out just on the edge, in and out of the blue and the brown. So if you want to kind of parallel troll that to kill some time or just to enjoy yourself and bend a rod, good reports of Spanish there, along with obviously the little sharks. There's always some tarpon mixed in there. So
all right, but moving up over to the east or over to the Alligator Creek Reef, what's going on up there? Anything?
Spanish mackerel on occasion, especially on that incoming tide. Some mixed sizes of cobia, been some big stingrays.
There's been some random triple tail.
Yeah, I've been hearing mixed reports of triple tail too. Yep. I guess Vinny's wife caught a triple tail out there in one of the holes with Cut Bonita when they were trying to fish for sharks on that tournament on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
The mooring field up by the 41 bridge has been having some on it too.
What is it?
That mooring field right
there. Oh, yeah, the triple tail by the mooring field. Yeah, if we get a real dry winter, that's going to really take off. But coming back down to the east side of the harbor, what's going on the east side?
Pyro Harbor?
That's more your backyard.
Pyro Harbor's got a lot of juvenile tarpon in it right now. There's a lot of good snook in there and a lot of good snapper fishing in there right now.
All right, coming out to the sandbar, going north?
A lot of bonnet heads on top of the bar. There's some decent-sized white bait hanging out over there just north of Pyro Harbor. On that grass flat.
Now, if you're getting back by the islands, the snook, redfish, anything back in there?
They've been hanging out on the outer islands where it's easier for them to get to the bait. I've been noticing that they haven't been all the way in the back country, like where I normally am. I've been having to fish the outer islands for all the redfish and snook because it's so much closer for them to travel to get to the bait.
That's what I've been hearing too. A lot of more redfish than snook over there. Mm-hmm. And then early morning at first light for that first like hour of daylight, the bigger reds have been out there on the flats and some of the sand holes, and then slowly getting closer and closer to the bushes, and then they kind of disappear.
As the sun comes up, it gets hotter. They're going to go up for the shade.
Up by Alligator Creek, there's a lot more snook. There's a lot of snook hanging up by Alligator Creek right now.
Right.
I had a couple of reports of some flounder there, right there at the mouth of Alligator Creek with some big mangrove snapper.
Yeah, since they redug that channel and took the bend out of it and just ran it out straight, that's actually improved a lot of the fishing along there.
Well, that bend is still there.
I know the bend is still there, but I'm just saying that since they cut that mouth straight, that's really improved a lot of the fishing there. It's really kind of
helped out the water flow.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was going to be better or worse, but it seems to have helped.
Yeah, I mean, more consistent.
Yeah. If you get up towards Ponce de Leon, going to the PGI canals?
A lot of jacks. Surprisingly, there's a lot of redfish hanging up there by Ponce right now.
Really?
Come right outside of Ponce, either go right towards Colony Point or go left towards Mangrove Point. There's a lot of redfish hanging out there on those flats early in the morning, then they're going to the bushes in the middle of the day. Inside Ponce de Leon, there's a lot of snook in there right now, in that main channel going all the way in. There's always snook there, but I mean, there's a lot of snook in there. I mean,
hearing a lot of reports of Goliath grouper jewfish back in the PGI canal right now.
Yeah. Right there.
Been hearing
that rock
60
wall.
And 80 pounders.
Yeah, 60 and 80 pound consistent grouper back there
top
in those
canals. Drop a crab down by that rock wall, and you'll catch one of them little Goliaths.
Ricks.
So, yeah, it's been some really phenomenal July fishing around some of the areas.
A lot of ladyfish in the PGI canals.
Now, luck's playing a big part in what happens because in PGI you've got a lot of fish back there. But you and the fish both have to be there at the same time. You both have to have the same idea. You want them to eat. They want to eat.
Oh, yeah.
And whether you're on the flats or anywhere right now, the heat is playing a big big deal with it. The bright sunlight, I don't know, when you guys are listening, you're going to see it's been pretty consistent early morning out in the open. As the sun comes up, fish don't have eyelids. It gets a little bright. They want to get back underneath the shade. So start your day off out in the open and then work towards the structure as the sun comes up. And it's been pretty slow after 1 o'clock. By 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, Carl, you seem to disagree with that.
I mean, in the morning, I'm starting off
using... He's an animal.
I'm starting off using, like, greenbacks and faster-moving baits in the morning when it's cooler. But, I mean, as the day gets on, when it gets hotter and hotter, I'm going to find the biggest, greenest bushes that I could find, and I'm slowing everything down. Like, I'll take those greenbacks, and I'll cut their tail off just so that they're, like, a little silver medallion just sitting there twitching in one spot. And I'll pitch it underneath the bushes. I mean, that's how I've been doing really good. I've been slowing everything down.
Not allowing it to run around, just allowing the fish to hear it, see it, smell it, and be able to easily get it.
Mm-hmm. I've actually been using those Rockport rattlers with greenbacks. I've never really done that lately.
Call the redfish Sunday. Put it through the middle of the back of the greenback so he flops on both sides of the jig head. And he
stays where he's at.
As he's wiggling in that one spot, he's kicking up sand, and with the adding the Rockport rattler aspect to it, now you're getting the extra noise of the rattle. You're getting the banging and thrashing of the fish. It's all work, but that's actually Redfish Sunday.
I used to do that just with pinfish, but Robert told me to try it with a greenback, and I did, and it's been working pretty good.
Yep.
Yeah,
so
that's cool as heck.
Tried and true, even better with a Rockport rattler.
Yeah, I'm curious to try that this summer.
Yeah, so
it works good.
I've seen how good it works with just a regular jig head.
It gets
only
hot,
imagine.
Slow everything down.
All right. Anything else we should go through, guys?
I think the key thing is like slowing everything down, but look for moving water. Whether you're east side, west side, you want that water flow because that's
so
most
consistent.
The faster
consistent. The moving water, the better things are going to be. The slower the water, the hotter it gets. Mm-hmm. It's like standing in a breeze or standing in a still spot. Whenever you're standing in a still area, you're going to look for that breeze. It's going to make everything a little cooler.
Yep. Absolutely.
So anyway, this is Fish and Frank here in the chair.
20-foot holes.
Okay, hurry up.
Tarpon. Lots of tarpon. Lots of catfish. Cobia. Miscellaneous small and larger sharks.
Okay.
That's it.
All right. So, anyway, Fishing Frank in the chair here. I got Robert in the chair across from me. We're guesting today. Our guest was Captain Carl, KB Backcountry Charters. Click on the little KB Backcountry Charters icon. It'll take you right to Carl's information. And I can't really think about anything else, but I got about 2 minutes left, and the only thing that you did a real brief about the deep holes, but from what I hear, if you get a thread fin or a cut bait or anything out there, getting it by the catfish is a real trick.
Yes.
There are a lot of tarp in there, but
go bigger baits.
What's that?
Go bigger baits. Catfish can't get it in their mouth.
Yeah. You got to use, full 12-inch ladyfish, 14-inch ladyfish. Mm-hmm. Bigger the bait, the better it is for the tarpon. They can eat it. The catfish can push it around. And
don't be afraid to use one.
Or put the catfish on.
And then put the catfish on.
Don't be afraid to use a catfish.
Yeah.
Okay.
Catfish tails work great here, just upriver or in Sanibel.
If you carry a pair of side cutters with you, cut the fins off the catfish, stick a hook through his jaws, throw them out live. Great bait for tarpon. Or just cut the tail off and use the tail section.
Absolutely.
Either way, it's going to work really
Cobia,
good.
Cobia, tarpon, sharks, they'll all eat it.
So, anyway, Fishing Frank here, and thanks for listening to Radio Fishing. We'll be back with regular broadcast for another several months. Anyway, thank you guys for listening. We'll see you later. Bye.